Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate my mother. Abraham Lincoln once said, "All that I am today, I owe to my adoring mother." And I look out on this audience and I see a lot of mothers and their children are with them today. I hope you take advantage of the opportunity that you have to throw your arms around them, to tell them that you love them, and to tell them just how much you appreciate them. I'd like to say something by way of encouragement to those of you here this morning that are young mothers. Just like in the description of the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, it says that her children arise up and call her blessed. And although today they may be putting their fingerprints all over the walls and spilling milk in the kitchen and creating all kinds of havoc in the home, there is a day coming when they will rise up and call you blessed. For me, that happened after Caitlin was born. We had had two sons previously and then a daughter. And when I reflected on that, my mom had two boys and then a daughter, and she was done. The difference was that my dad left my mom after my sister was born. And between the time that he left and divorced her and the time that she remarried him the second time, my mom had gotten saved. And then my dad left for good. And I can remember one day, one afternoon, I think Jenny was off at work, the hospital, and I was home watching the three kids. And I can recall vividly picking up the phone and calling my mom and saying, "Mom, I just wanted to call and say I love you and tell you how much I appreciate you for everything that you've done for me." And as a mother, knowing her son, she asked this question, "Why are you saying that? What brought all that on?" And it was the realization that I had a strong marriage, two parents to be able to raise three children, and she did it by herself. And she saw all three of her children saved. Indeed, we have a goodly heritage. And if you have a mother here today that knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and has sought to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you have much to be thankful for. And I hope and pray that you'll take advantage of the opportunity you have today to let them know how much you appreciate it. What we'd like to do this morning is look in the Gospel of Luke. It seems as if the writer, as he writes that gospel account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his public ministry, he becomes impressed with different things at different times as he's writing. And one of the things that impressed Luke was the Lord's interaction with women, a particular cast of women, widows. And five times over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke mentions our Lord's interaction with these widows that he came across during his earthly ministry. And this morning, we want to look at that, and we don't want to just look at it and say, "Oh, how wonderful these women are." Because if that's all we did here this morning, beloved, we would have fallen far short of the mark, wouldn't we have? We want to be able to look at the Lord Jesus through these women's eyes and say, "How wonderful a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ." So for our first scripture reading, Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 24. And he that is the Lord Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. By her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke chapter 21 is our final reading. In verse 1, And he, the Lord Jesus, looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. 5 widows, and what lessons they teach us about the Lord Jesus. The first in Luke chapter 2, we find Anna the prophetess. She teaches us about devotion to the Lord. And it is that only the Lord alone, is worthy of our worship. Anna is one of those biblical characters that we do not read very much of. In fact, here in Luke chapter 2 is the only mention of Anna the prophetess. Her name is equivalent with the Old Testament Hannah. And much like that Old Testament character, we find her in the temple praying to the Lord. We don't know much about Anna, because this is the only mention, but we do know some things from what is recorded in verse 36. First of all, her name means favored. She was a prophetess, the daughter of a man by the name of Phanuel, the literal translation of which is the face of God. And she comes from the tribe of Aser, which means happy. If you had to grow up in a family, I guess in a tribe that was peculiarly marked out by being happy would be a good place to be born into, wouldn't it? We all like to be happy. It sure beats being sad. And I guess if we had to choose for a father, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a father whose name meant the face of God? I know my kids can't say that. Maybe I look a little bit like it in judgment when I come after them for not doing something I told them to do, but her father's name was the face of God. Truly, she was a favored woman, having grown up in a situation like that. But we read that that happy atmosphere was soon to change. She got married. Now, that's not what made it unhappy. But she got married, and she lived with her husband for a scant 7 years. You know, there are those here today that are thinking about getting married very soon. How would you feel if you only had 7 years together? It's been my joy to have almost 26 in a few short weeks here with my wife. And I tell you, I savor every bit of it. And I look forward to many more. But 7 years after being married, her husband was gone, taken away. And we read that she lived from that time for another 84 years. When the Bible says that Anna was of great age, they weren't just kidding. That's 91 years right then from the time that she was married to this time in the temple when Joseph and Mary arrive with the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anna probably was well over 100 years old at that particular moment when Christ showed up in the temple. But for that time frame, for 84 years since her husband left her through death, she departed not, it says in verse 37, from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. What a testimony. I think if we had to ask Anna, what was the secret to longevity of service like that for the Lord Jesus, I think one word would come to her mind. Sufficient. My wife likes to kid my mom about the possibility, even at this age, of getting remarried. Finding a nice Christian husband to offset the... Well, we won't get into that. And she likes to kid her about that. But every time we ask my mom about it, she says this: well, I just always felt the Lord was sufficient. Sufficient. And I'm sure Anna would say the same thing. And it was her delight to devote her life. That's what we're hitting on here in the life of Anna, a life of devotion. She devoted herself to being where the Lord was. Now, how many women can say that? You know, we as if I know anything about it. But, you know, women, they are natural homemakers, you know, and they are always concentrating on the needs of the family, whether it be the husband or the children, and they just dote and dote and dote all day long, hardly ever taking time for themselves. But here was one woman who saw one thing to be more paramount in her life than anything else, And that was her devotion to the Lord. We need mothers like that today. We need mothers who show by the pattern of their life that they are so devoted to the Lord. Anna, it says, departed not from the temple, but she didn't just stop by just being there. It says she spent the time in prayer and fasting night and day. What a life of devotion. You can tell I'm not that devoted. I haven't missed too many meals, have I? But here was Anna devoting herself to the Lord by rejecting food, by spending that time in prayer. And it says, night and day. And it says she gave thanks unto the Lord. None of this wallowing in self-pity, wondering what life might have been like had her husband still been around. None of that for Anna. No, she gave thanks to the Lord for where she was in life, for how her life had turned out. She saw it as a blessing that she would be so devoted to the Lord. And it says of her that she testified unto all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of Anna, the prophetess, what a moniker to have, okay? I mean, she could have realistically let that go to her head, couldn't she have? But instead, not concerned about the title, more concerned about the Lord, and her life demonstrated it. And so whoever she came into contact with, if she got even the slightest hint that they were looking for reconciliation in Jerusalem, she mentioned to them about this one who she had seen. This one who, coming in the temple of God, was God incarnate in the flesh. And she pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anna's life of devotion teaches us that the Lord alone deserves our worship. A.P. Gibbs, in his book entitled Worship, says that worship is the occupation of the Lord, not with the needs or even the blessings that we receive, but with the Lord Himself. We've allowed the world to take that word worship and to turn it into something that it was never meant to be. You drive by any church sign in the city of Wichita today, and you'll see it say, worship meeting, worship time. Come worship with us. And it's all about an experience instead of what it should be, the occupation of our heart alone with the Lord Jesus Himself. And beloved, that's not confined to a building. That's not confined to even a particular religious group. The worship of the Lord is something that I should be engaged in moment by moment, where I understand, much like we do today with our mothers, where I understand and appreciate the Lord for who He is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And yes, I do appreciate what He's done for me, saving me from my sin, making it possible for me to have an inheritance in Christ, as Randy was saying this morning, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. The Lord Jesus alone is worthy of that kind of devotion. May it be said when I am no longer in this body. Not that I was devoted to my children. Not that I was devoted to my wife. Don't get me wrong. Those things weigh very heavy upon my heart. But oh, that it might be said that he was devoted to his Lord. That's the kind of testimony that we ought to have. In Luke chapter 4, we read of the Lord Jesus speaking about another widow. This time, a widow from the Old Testament, a widow in the life of Elijah, who ministered to his needs. This portion is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17. If you'd like to turn there, we'll read just a few verses. Don't know if everyone's familiar with the story, but this is prior to Elijah's victory on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And in chapter 17, you remember the Lord told Elijah to go into Ahab and to tell him, there's not going to be any dew or rain at my word. And this is because of the nation's departure from the Lord. And in verse 7 of chapter 17, we read that it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So, in other words, the Lord sent Elijah to a brook to be fed by ravens. You remember that brought him meat to eat, and he drank from the brook until there was no more water in the brook. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we might eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. This widow's life speaks to us of a life of dependence upon the Lord. And she teaches us that the Lord alone can provide. Henry Benjamin Whipple lived in the 1800s. I don't know if my brother Steve knows. He's from Minnesota, which is where Henry Benjamin Whipple was from, but he served in that area amongst the Native American Indians. And he is attributed with saying this, All that we want in Christ, we shall find in Christ. If we want little, we'll find little. If we want much, we shall find much. But if in utter helplessness we cast our all on Christ, he will be to us the whole treasury of God. Our dependence on the Lord teaches us time and time again that the Lord alone will provide. Notice In 1 Kings 17, the timeliness of the word of God in verses 7 and 8. It was when the brook had dried up that the word of the Lord then came to Elijah the prophet and said, I've prepared a widow woman in Zarephath in Zidon to take care of you. Go. The timeliness of the word. But the obedience of the prophet in verses 9 and 10, because we read that Elijah got up from that place of provision that at one time provided for all his needs, day in and day out, he left that place to an unknown. He not only left that place for an unknown, he left the whole country of Israel behind and traveled into the country known as Phoenicia. And there between Tyre and Sidon on the coastal road is the city of Zarephath, to a heathen community. Not those that love the Lord. The widow herself tells Elijah, as thy God liveth. It wasn't her God, it was Elijah's God. And yet the prophet obeyed. And he went there at the word of the Lord. And in verses 14 and 15, the dependence of the widow is seen as she, in accordance with the word of the prophet, makes a little cake for him first and finds that what the Lord promised through the prophet is true, that he can be depended on for everything, for sustenance, for provision, for all of it, for the barrel of meal never wasted, the cruse of oil never ran dry until it began to rain on the earth after 3.5 years. What a wonderful thing to see the dependence of this old woman on a God that she had not known heretofore. But at the word, believing, she cast herself in utter helplessness on the Lord and his word and found him to be the whole treasury of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And what about us today? We who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. We who get up early on a Sunday morning while everyone else would rather sleep in, and we get dressed and we come to this place to break the bread and to drink the cup and to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. What of us? It is so easy to go through this life and think that we are dependent upon none other than ourselves. To think that as I go to work in the morning and come home and at the end of the week bring a paycheck into my bank account that I have provided for my family, instead of it being the Lord who has provided. Therefore I say unto you, verse 25, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? That if God is willing to provide for the birds of the air, how much more will he provide for those that know him and love him? How much more will he provide for his own sons and daughters? How often in this life, as we come across difficulty after difficulty, death, discouragement, disappointment, failure, and all the rest that this life has to give, how often can we, like Abraham of old, say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham said that in hope of a coming day when the Lord Jesus would be here. And as God's Lamb, he would be provided to take away the sins of the world. And we in hindsight look back. We look back to the provision that God has made for the most important need that mankind would ever face. The need of having our sins taken away once and forevermore. And what a thrill to know that if he is able to save me from my sins, if he is able to provide salvation and provide eternal life in his presence forevermore, then I think, beloved, I think he can provide for the needs that I have today. Don't you? A life of dependence on the Lord, because only the Lord can provide. Luke chapter 7, we read the sad story that starts out sad but has a happy ending, the story of the widow of Nain. Kind of interesting, the word Nain means pleasant. But that day, it was anything but pleasant. It was full of grief and pain and agony. And here we have at the city gates the only son of the mother, dead, carried out. And he would meet the only son of the father. And he would come and give him life again. I think the one thing that strikes me the most about this story is what it says of the Lord Jesus. It says that when he looked on this widow, here she was. She was a widow. She had lost her husband. Everything that she was tied into who he was and providing for him and helping him and being a helpmeet for him. And now he was gone. And much like in our society and every other society, they just tend to get forgotten, don't they? Until somebody reminds us of them. And here she was at the gates of the city that day. No doubt overcome with grief. Her only son, the only one now who could have provided for her, gone, snatched away in death, and she's left alone. And the Lord Jesus, it says, looked on her and had compassion on her. No one has compassion like the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Lord alone has compassion for you and for me. We can share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, as we sometimes sing. And oftentimes we can allow to flow a sympathizing tear. But it's not like the compassion that the Lord Jesus has for you and for me. In John chapter 11, at the grave of Lazarus, we read, as the Lord was there viewing that scene, it says, Jesus wept. Overcome by compassion for Mary, for Martha, understanding what he was about to do to Lazarus, to bring him back from Abraham's bosom, and now bring him back to a life where he, again he would experience pain and suffering and eventual death. No one has compassion like the Lord Jesus. And oh, the joy of being able that day to stop that funeral procession. Being able to say to that young man, arise. And being able to deliver him to his mother. Oh, how tender and compassionate is the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares about all our needs, all our desires. He alone has compassion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What a wonderful promise we have from the Lord Jesus, that we sorrow not as others. That as the apostle wrote, that as we venture into death, it's just a vehicle by which we appear in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And as a result of that hope that we have in Christ and what he did at Calvary and what he did 3 days later when he rose from the grave, we have confidence knowing as we stand at a graveside that if they trusted in Christ, we'll see them again. We know that they shall appear with him in glory. Not just the dead in Christ, not just those that sleep in Jesus, it says, will God bring with him. What a delight to know the Lord alone has compassion. In Luke 18, we read the account, a parable, if you will, from the Lord Jesus, of the widow who comes to the unjust judge and constantly comes into his presence saying, avenge me of mine enemies. Avenge me of my enemies. And because the unjust judge does not regard man, and because he does not fear God, he doesn't grant her request. Until he, thinking it over, one day says, I will avenge her. By her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. That's determination. Determination, understanding that the Lord alone can answer prayer. The Lord used this story as a way of illustrating the importance of prayer. Verse 1 of chapter 18 starts off, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he launches into the story. It would behoove us, if we are serious about prayer, to dissect this story and to understand what the Lord was saying. The scriptures tell us that we come into the presence of the Lord and we offer our prayers. And if we think that our prayers change the mind of the Lord, then we don't understand the Lord. If our prayers are in accordance with the will of God, he will grant them. In James chapter 5, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he gives this example that Elijah was a man of like passions as we, and he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it rained, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The idea, beloved, is that we come into the presence of the Lord often, always, because only He can answer our prayers. We can tell one another about what's troubling us. We can tell one another about what needs we have. We can go and lay on the psychiatrist's couch and we can unburden a whole lifetime worth of whatever, you know? We can go to those that are more wealthy and say, well, you know, I have a need. But it's nothing like coming to the Lord alone in prayer. Because one, He knows our needs. And two, He's the only one that can provide for our needs. And we lay our burden before Him. And we find out that He is ready and willing and able to answer our prayers according to His most precious will. And the apostle writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, then pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Earlier on, he writes that that's one of the things that the devil loves to do, is to get the child of God in a place where they're not coming in the presence of the Lord in prayer. Why? Because then you think it all begins and ends with you. And you forget that the Lord is the only one that can answer prayer. And because our time is running short, in Luke chapter 21, we read about that widow that day that the Lord saw casting into the treasury. That was one of the things that we brought home in 1987 from our trip to Israel, was the widow's mite. These things are smaller than a dime. They weigh even less. And if they weren't packed away, I would have brought them with me today. But they weigh even less. You can imagine those men showing up with sacks full of coin and just loading them in. And hearing all that clanging and battering about, making noise. See how wonderful I am, how much money I'm given, but always with the idea of, whoop, stopping the sack. Not giving at all. What did the Lord say about that? They gave out of their abundance. But this poor widow, you see her? She only put in two little mites. They hardly made a sound as they hit the other coins in the box. And yet I noticed it. Why? Because this woman, there's a term in poker, not that I know anything about it, all in. Because she went all in. She put it all in there. She didn't hold back on anything. It would have been very easy in her predicament to say, one for the Lord and one for me. But she put it all in, that it might be all for Him. And beloved, that is what the Lord Jesus is waiting for you and for me to do. Not with just money. And I'm not saying here that we need to take our billfold out of our wallet and throw it in. Okay? What I'm saying is what Tony Evans once said. He said, the Lord doesn't care what you're going to do with the $50 you'll get. He wants to know what you're going to do with the $5 that's in your pocket. The idea is, instead of saying, I'll give to the Lord when, give to the Lord. And not just money, time, energy. Give it all to Him. Go all in, because the Lord alone is worth giving to. Because one thing that we know of our Lord in the Scriptures is this: He is no man's debtor. If you give all in to the Lord, you will find that He will give to you more than you ever imagined. And that's not a prosperity gospel that we're preaching. We're not saying give so that you might get by the truckload and be wealthy, happy, and wise, you know. We're saying give all that you are, give to the Lord, because the Lord will give to you. Think about this. what kind of revelation, what kind of new revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ will you receive if you go all in? That's something money can't buy. That's something that a moment of time in this life isn't worthy to be compared with. To know him in a greater way. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May these lessons help us to appreciate the Lord Jesus more with every passing day. Our Father and our God, we are so appreciative of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for all that he has done. To think that he would ever leave that place on high and come for sinful man to die, to take away our sin, that he might be able to look from heaven this morning upon our gathering here and say that he is satisfied with the travail of his soul. O Lord Jesus, who loves us like to thee? We pray that as we have heard from thy word this day, that our hearts might be affected in a way like never before, that we might seek to give to thee what thou art worthy of, the worship of our hearts, the praise of our lips, the time and energy of our life, that we might know thee and know thee more until we see thee face to face. Father, for the food that has been provided, we give you thanks. And Father, again, we would be remiss this morning if we didn't thank thee for our mothers who love thee and who sought about in their lifetime of making sure that their children knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior too. We pray a special blessing on their hearts today, Lord, in the Savior's precious name. Amen.